Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And my name is Mark Muro. And today our guest is Tim Miller, who is here. He has a show at Out North. It's called Lay of the Land, and it is tonight and tomorrow night only. Welcome, Tim.
Hey.
Yeah, hi.
So, what is your show about?
Well, it's a piece called Lay of the Land, and it's a solo show. And what I'm really – I do a lot of stories from my life and perspectives on politics and my identity as a gay person. And in a way, this show really, with its bold title of Lay of the Land, which would, of course, would mean all kinds of things, our national landscape right now, a little love and romance adventures as I travel around. But in some ways, I think the piece is really about what is it to be – a citizen right now, especially a gay citizen, and how do I make sense of that? My state, California, just narrowly voted to take away marriage equality rights that we had for 5 months. And as I'm aware of being here in Anchorage, that just a couple of weeks ago, that the mayor of Anchorage vetoed gay rights for people in Anchorage. So as I travel around the country, I see again and again within the lay of the land, there's these forward motion, this backward motion, people, especially around lesbian and gay citizenship in a way. So the piece, through humor and storytelling, really tries to get at that.
So I understand that you're willing to give us a sample.
I am. Here I go. I'm 9. I'm walking to school with my best friend, Scott. Scott is the second cousin of the President of the United States, Richard Milhouse Nixon. So as you all quickly see, Republicans have been messing with me for as long as I can remember. Now, Scott and I are both 9, and we're walking to school. We're free associating as 9-year-old boys will. We're talking about whatever we see as we walk, and we're walking by the most widely respected house in our suburban Southern California neighborhood, much admired for its impressive series of 37 ceramic garden elves decorating the walkway to the front yard. And as Scott walks by this house with me there at the tender age of 9, he says, "You know, Tim, when I grow up, I'm going to marry that cute girl, Gail Gardner. Yeah, we're going to get married and we're going to live together forever in the house with the ceramic garden elves." And then he looks at me with this, like, grin that suggests he thinks he deserves a 99 and a happy face on the test we will have that later that day about the injustice of heterosexual privilege. I bide my time. Personally, from my perspective, I have always assumed that Scott and I will marry each other and live in the house with the ceramic garden elves. So I said to him, "But Scott, I always think we're going to get married." Now, Scott looks at me like I've just suggested we tap dance naked, holding hands to the moon. He says, "What, Tim, are you crazy? Boys can't get married. Why? Because, why? Because, why?" Clearly, logic wasn't going to work with this guy, so he shoved me really hard, and I fell head over heels in the deep ivy of our United Church of Christ minister's front yard.
That's great.
Yeah. So this is a true story from your life?
It is. Growing up in Whittier, California, the hometown of the president.
Yeah, that's when I was known, a little Whittier. Boy. That's right. I am not a crook.
Exactly.
And so as a child, you knew you were different. You were gay.
I'm really interested in looking back. And I spoke at UAA last night to a big class and talked a lot about, I think, these childhood memories of things that we happened when we were 9, or even as we started to talk before we got on the radio, that memory for you as a young, very young woman. You know, these stories are, I think, a way we teach each other, learn about ourselves. So I like pulling that forward. And I definitely was in love with Scott Milhouse in fourth grade. And
his name is Milhouse.
Whittier is a very Milhouse and Nixon town still. And I knew my native child sense of justice. Of course, if I love another boy, I will marry them. Children have to be taught racism. They have to be taught homophobia. You're certainly not born that way.
You're born natural, just doing what is natural to you.
Exactly. So I think kind of pulling these stories forward, especially from childhood, are really, really interesting. And it launches me into more grown-up stuff as well.
It's very evocative. I mean, the imprint from childhood, whatever that is, carries forward, and then you reach a certain age, I know in my experience, where you realize that there's almost like a subtext, or there's this kind of program where so many things that happen to me now, I reflect back on a similar thing happening.
Right.
And it's almost like, I wouldn't say fate or destiny, but there's a program which has been made early on. And then you kind of like, for better or worse, start acting out,
right,
you know, the unfinished business. So whatever it was, not to get too psychological, illogical, but it's just nice to reflect upon that, because I think from a theatrical point of view, it's very compelling. It's very gripping.
It's really at the heart of theater. And as you just said that, Mark, even the word you just used, acting out, which in a way is a psychological term, also shows the theater that lives in us, where our memory, which I think theater and performance is a real memory space, where time blurs and we're in the present with the audience, but we're also remembering being a nine-year-old little gay kid in Southern California in love with his best friend, and suddenly, and all the love and life that's in the theater that night, it all starts to echo and be a fugue state almost, which is why I love live performing.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I have goosebumps.
You do some of that, Mark, but I haven't. But I've been thinking about doing it, trying it under 30 this
season. Oh, wow, yeah.
But I know that whatever I write has to come from people I knew or myself, because where else would you get your inspiration, it seems to me, because theater to me is about people, essentially,
right.
In a way that all writing is.
Sure.
Really.
And then I really like seeing, so it actually pulls out of just that memory space or psychology or even theater space, is also see how these kids we once were, these adults we keep becoming, how that personal conversation comes up face-to-face with our society and with laws or with the Anchorage Ordinance 64 being vetoed, which was profoundly hurtful, especially for people who've spent decades trying to pass this
thing. And what was that about? I live here, I should know.
No,
but
well,
just for the benefit of people who don't know.
Well, 64 would have been some very basic rights protecting Anchorage, you know, citizens of lesbian and gay citizens of Anchorage from employment discrimination and such.
Yeah, okay. In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Tim Miller, who is here. He has a show tonight and tomorrow night called Lay of the Land at Out North. The ramifications are somewhat chilling because, you know, it's illegal to be different. I mean, that's what it boils down to in a way. You know,
it reinserts. And to me, you know, why I like that little memory of myself as a nine-year-old boy, I like thinking of some nine-year-old Anchorage or outlying town, you know, Wasilla, dare we say, you know, kid who gets the daily paper and sees, oh, wow, our mayor just took away the rights that that the city council had voted for. Mm-hmm. Like, what signal does that send to a kid? And it's partly why I like bringing up, I'm really aware of these, you know, if I get on Good Morning Chattanooga on TV, I think, okay, there's some little Tennessee different kid who's maybe up early watching this. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge opportunity to just, you know, breathe a little air and space into the discussion.
And it needs it.
Yeah,
I was furious at the. I'm. There's no secret what side I'm on. I'm gay. I'm not.
Right. Well, that has nothing to do with it.
Is it just a political football, like pandering to the so-called base? You know, it makes things easy. There's the fear card. It's just like, you know, them and us, and everybody wants to be on the club, and you know, and on the right side of the thing. And yeah, it just seems to be
the correct side.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But going back to the process of your writing this, it's scripted, but do you script it on your feet, like before an audience in the workout as you workshop it, and then you go back and watch the tape or something and then transcribe, and somebody says, hey, that was no fun. Leave that in. You don't know.
A lot, you know, I'll be working with the under 30 artists that are coming up here at Out North. We'll be doing some work on Saturday. So I find that's a really good space also for me to work on things. And most pieces, like that little very short segment of The Story Goes On, of my encounter with Scott Milhouse, that piece began as an improvisation. I was asking a workshop I was leading to pull a story from childhood where you spoke up for yourself, took a chance. I think children have a really rich sense of justice and self-survival. And the story, you know, that's the story I pulled out that day. And then I thought, this is kind of interesting. I hadn't remembered this story. So then it seemed this could fit in a show and stuff. And then I wrote it down, and then I did it some more. And then, like Mark said, just through audience response, I performed this piece at UAA yesterday and seemed to really connect actually with the students there. And you know, every conversation like that, because I think performing is a conversation, kind of keeps it going. It'll have a different tomorrow night. We're doing a kind of a special night with Equality Works here in Anchorage, who were one of the organizers to support 64. And, like, that'll change the audience. It'll change the conversation in a way, because we're going to have a little community dialogue after the performance about just what, you know, what's going on nationally, what happened here in Anchorage, what comes next. And so so the performance just becomes the first part of an engagement, of a way that we keep the theater and the creativity kind of deepening our conversation as citizens with each other.
Would you like to talk a little about your previous theater background?
I did it, you know, like lots of people. I did all kinds of plays, and, you know, from the age of 5 or 6, and wrote plays from the age of 8 or 9, and did dance training and music training. But I really got so that I really wanted to be able to completely focus my energy on writing and performing my own pieces, mostly as a soloist, just because it's my voice. In a lot of ways, I think I did that because I knew, as a young person, if I really wanted to bring my identity and my politics as a gay person forward, it was probably going to be up to me to do that, to not wait for some playwright to write a play, and that then I would, as an actor, be cast in to really leap forward in a way into that. Someone asked that exact question last night at UAA, which I thought was a really good question. Why this form? And as opposed to, you know, doing a video blog or writing plays or writing. I mean, I've written several books and as well, and that's another kind of engagement. They all are just different ways somehow to really connect directly with people.
Yeah, and it's, well, just the excitement of live theater, and like you say, how it's a collaboration between the audience. There's a certain kind of, there's a depth to the message that you'd receive sitting in a theater that you might get it privately. You know, I'm kind of like old-fashioned McLuhan-esque, meaning like it's a hotter medium than like a television. A book is a warm medium because it just goes directly into your imagination as does listening.
Right.
And as when you listen with the visual, and you just being a solo performer, where we focus on this one person, so it's a one-to-one. We don't have I don't know if you have a lot of theatrical props and sets and trappings of lights and special effects.
Not much.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, there's video project. This show's got a little spectacle to it, but it all fits in my carry-on bags.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it simple, and this way, you know, you don't have to worry about any kind of technical glitches. You make it too complicated, something goes wrong, then, yeah. So with this show, is this a new show? You have several other in the back behind you, and now is it finished? Is it in process?
It's new. It premiered in May in Los Angeles. It's been performed in Florida and Cleveland, and this is the fourth stop, actually. So this is very early on, which is great. So actually, for a piece called Lay of the Land, I pretty much hit the four corners of the country at this at this point. But yeah, there's many other shows. But this one feels it's really responding of this moment and what's going on, and the sort of also the collapse of civil discourse in our society. And I think it's a real way for me to weigh in.
Well, I think we're running out of time. So thank you very much for coming, Tim Miller, to talk about your show tonight and tomorrow night only at Out North, The Lay of the Land.
Okay, thanks.
And now for the Stage Talk calendar. Valley Performing Arts continues its run of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel at the Maccatense Theater in Wasilla. Showtimes are Friday to Saturday at 8 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 4 p.m. through October 4th. For tickets, call 373-0195 or go to info@valleyperformingarts.org.
And at Cyrano's, Dick Reichman's new play, The Big One, The Chronicle of the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill, continues its run. This play is a world premiere, and it's at 7 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays and 3 p.m. on Sundays through September the 27th. At the Cyrano's Playhouse Theater, for tickets, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
And opening tonight at Out North is Tim Miller in his one-person show, Lay of the Land. This show is tonight and tomorrow night only, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Out North. For tickets, go to www.outnorth.org or call 279-8099.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download a free podcast of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.